That is very sobering. Because day in and day out, we walk by people and we have an opportunity to change their eternal destiny and we do nothing about it. I hope we are convicted by what we just saw. Because you and I have an opportunity as disciples of Jesus Christ to talk to other people about Jesus, to witness for Jesus, so that they can have an awesome life on this earth and eventually one day to spend eternal life with God. And day in and day out, when the Spirit of God prompts us to open up our mouths and say something, and you don't. What I think about is what that young man's life would be like. It wasn't for that invitation. What you do not see is the heartache and the lousy marriage that would have followed, and probably divorce and drugs and alcohol, and then eventually one day lose his soul and end up in hell. By the way, that young man, that was Hervé Florent's son. He was our preacher just a few weeks ago at our International Sunday. That's his son. That's his firstborn. He's a student at the University of Texas in San Antonio. And a few weeks ago, I started talking to us about you and I have been called to also witness. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 2, it says, you and I need to live a life worthy of the calling that we have received. Amen. We've talked about how we've been called to love as Christians. We've talked about how we've been called to suffer for the cause of Christ. We've talked about how we've been called to humility. And a few weeks ago, I had several brothers and sisters share about how we've been called to witness. And it was very encouraging to hear how God used different people and the different things that they've learned in their lives even now that they're Christians. And you and I, as disciples, we've been called to go witness. That was the last thing Jesus talked about before he went up and ascended up back to heaven. He says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. In Acts chapter 1, it says, you will be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's what it's all about. Like I started to talk about the other day, the word witness in the Greek is marturio, M-A-R-T-U-R-O. It means to testify. It means to give evidence. When people look at our lives, they need to be able to see Jesus. They need to be able to see God changing us and transforming us. And it gives them hope, realizing that, you know what, if God can change him, then God can probably change me too. Because you and I know that the scriptures has the answers to eternal life. Amen? And in a few years, you and I are going to get to experience eternity with God. You say, well, it's been 2,000 years already since he left. In God's eyes, that's like 2 days. The Bible says a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. It's as if Jesus died 2 days ago, as far as God is concerned. You know, you and I think, oh, that's a long time. It's not a long time. It's a very short time for God. And so this morning, I want to continue talking about you and I have been called to witness. Amen? Amen. A verse we're very familiar with in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Peter writes, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. At one point, you and I were lost. We had no clue. Yes, we went to God, we went to church, we believed in God, but we were lost. And God saved us and brought us into his kingdom. And he said, as a result of that, you're a chosen people. We are on the winning team. Amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You and I know how this call ends as children of God. We're a chosen people. He says, a royal priesthood. Amen. It's Prince Richard talking to you this morning. That's Prince Peter. He led us into singing. There's Prince Moose seated up front. You guys are royalty. And you need to remember that every day. Yes, you don't have a castle somewhere. You know, you're not going to have somebody announcing your entrance. But one day you will. Oh, it's coming. It's going to make all that stuff going on in and look like child's play. You watch. You hang in there long enough. Amen?
Amen.
But it says, you know what? God did this so that we can declare his praises. So that we can tell other people what he's done for us and what he looks like. Amen? That's what we're talking about. God didn't save us so that we can come to church every Sunday.
Right.
Do you realize that? God didn't save you so that you can read your Bible every day and pray it. That's not it. God saved you and me so that we can declare his praises.
Right.
We can tell other people what he's done for us.
Right.
So that people can see God in us. So that people can see that resemblance. Are you with me?
Amen.
Where's John Gerard? Could you stand up, bro? Put the jacket on. Okay, can you all see him? Okay, turn around so that he can see you. Okay? Remain standing. Several years ago, there was a show on TV called Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Hold on. Who does John look like? He looks like Carlton. He looks like Carlton. The only thing missing is this.
I have seen.
That's what Carlton used to do. That's how he danced. But you see, Jesus, people ought to be able to see Jesus in us. Just like you and I can see the resemblance. That John Gerard, with the way he's dressed and with his bow tie, he looks like Carlton from The Fresh Prince. I mean, I saw him this morning, I said, hey, you look like Carlton. It's amazing how God helps me make my point. And I had no idea how he was going to be dressed like that this morning. In 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. This was Paul, and he says, of whom I am the worst. Jesus Christ came into this world, the Bible says, to save sinners. He didn't come here to condemn the world. He came here to save us.
Amen.
To save me, to save you. That's exciting. That's wonderful. Why? Because we can't save ourselves. And again, if people want to say, well, all roads lead to heaven, to me, it's all a bunch of nonsense. It was only Jesus who came into this world to save sinners. That's why we can say we're going to heaven. All roads do not lead to heaven. I'm sorry. Only one road leads to heaven. Jesus, who came to save sinners. The only mediator we have between God and man. Amen? And we shouldn't be afraid to tell people that. He came to save sinners. And all we are, as God's children, is a bunch of saved sinners. That's all we are. It doesn't mean we're better than anybody else. We're just saved sinners. And Paul was able to say, "I am of whom I am the worst." Jesus didn't come again so that we can live a comfortable life on this earth. I got news for you. Jesus didn't come so that you can have a prosperous life. He came so that you will have eternal life. He didn't come so that we can live a good life. We got to remember this every single day. Has it ever occurred to you that Christ uses sinners? And those are the only people he uses? Because we are all sinners. I think sometimes we think in our minds, okay, yeah, if I'm this kind of person in my, you know, spirituality or maturity, then God will use me. Again, I don't know what Bible you've been reading. We're all a mess in here. We're all a bunch of sinners, and we will continue to be sinners. Now, don't get me wrong. We don't continue to deliberately sin. Romans 6 talks about that one. But we're sinners nonetheless. God always uses misfits and sinners. Abraham was old. Jacob was insecure. Leah was unattractive. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered. Gideon was poor. Samson was codependent. Rahab was immoral. David had an affair and all kinds of family problems. Elijah wanted to die. Jeremiah was depressed. Jonah was reluctant. Naomi was a widow. John the Baptist was eccentric, to say the least. Peter was impulsive and hot-tempered. Martha worried a lot. The Samaritan woman had several failed marriages. Zacchaeus was unpopular. Thomas had doubts. Paul had poor health. And Timothy was timid. They were all sinners. And God used every single one of them. So every time you feel insecure, brothers and sisters, you're in good company. I'm in good company, amen? In Ephesians chapter 2, we got to ask ourselves the question, what is grace? It defines it for us. Go ahead and turn there. Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 7. I'm going to back up and I'm starting from verse 6. It says, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Verse 7. In order that in the coming ages, he might show his incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Right here, it defines what grace is. In verse 7, it says, in order that in the coming ages, that he, talking about God, might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us, in who? In Christ Jesus. And so grace basically is God's kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. The only reason why God has been good to you is because of Jesus. Alan talked about it again this morning. It's not because of anything those guys have done. It's because of who God is. And when God is kind to you, when God is kind to me, it's because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. That's it. It's not because of anything good in us or any good stuff that we're doing. We were saved by grace. We are saved by grace. And we should continue to live and be saved by the same grace. Are you with me? But you see, we got to understand this. If you're going to be a good witness. Because I think a lot of times for a lot of us, the thing that motivates us to witness for Christ is duty. We do it because we're supposed to. We do it because we know God tells us to. And grace should be the motivation. The fact that God has been kind to me, I need to tell other people about this gracious God. Are you with me? A lot of us in here were parents, right? You have kids. Some of us play the role of parents. to other kids? Do you send them to school, feed them, and buy them clothes? Because that's your duty? Is that what's motivating you? Day in and day out? Absolutely not. You do those things because you love your kids. Are you with me? God loves us. That's his motivation. And our motivation to serve him and to be our best for him ought to be the same love. It shouldn't be out of duty or performance. Guess what? Before you ever said a prayer or read your Bible, God had always been gracious to you. So you see, it's got nothing to do with your performance. And somehow, for a lot of us, after we become Christians, we now think we can earn, you know, God's graces through how good we are. And when we're not good, we start feeling guilty. That simply tells me you don't understand God's grace. Because if you understood God's kindness, it will motivate you and set a fire from under you that you can't help but talk to other people about what God is doing in your life. Be ready this morning. And I had no idea what he was going to be talking about. The Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But how can they hear unless they are sent? That is talking about you and me. And so I'm going to go back to what I said a couple of weeks ago. What is this summer going to look like for you? Are you just going to coast through the summer? Go around eating barbecue and, you know, eating hamburgers and hot dogs? Is that what you're going to do all summer? Or as you go around, are you going to see people and say, you know what, let me talk to them about the goodness of God? My daughter graduated on Thursday night. And we went to the graduation, obviously. The stadium was packed. Both sides. And I kid you not, as I sat there, as the ceremony was going, all I could see was lost people. I looked around and I said, man, we got a lot of work to do in Gwinnett County. That was all I could think about. And that was all I did. I was just praying the whole time. I sat there. I thought, man, we got work to do. Yeah, these people are nice. They're good. But they don't know God. How are we going to do this? One by one. That's how you bring people to Jesus. That's how they were brought to Jesus. One by one. And every time you miss that opportunity of not saying something, you miss an incredible opportunity to change somebody's eternal destiny. What's the worst they're going to say to you? Nope, I'm not interested. I'm not going to give my telephone number. Okay, I'll go find somebody else who's going to give me the telephone number. Are you with me? You just never know. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You're standing in line at the grocery store, and the Spirit of God tells you to say hello to that person in front of you. And you chicken out. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, you've seen that lady taking a walk in the evening in your neighborhood every now and then. And there you are, you're going to go get your mail. And there she is. He said, hey, neighbor, how you doing? My name is so-and-so. I live over here. Where do you live? I see you walking over here all the time. Let's talk. As a matter of fact, why don't you come over and let's have some burgers and some hot dog? That's why God gave you that house. Remember, it's not your house. We had a sermon on that one a few weeks ago. God is letting you live in it. Yes, you got to pay the mortgage. But there's an awesome house on the other side waiting for you that you don't have to pay anything on. Are you listening to me? But this one, you got to use it for the Lord. But it's all about God's grace. In Titus chapter 3, he gives us another definition. Grace is the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward us. You see the common theme there? Where God is treating us not as our sins deserve, but as a result of his grace and as his mercy. And brothers and sisters, all I'm saying this morning, all I've ever said from this pulpit, or any pulpit for that matter, is that this be the motivation. Amen? Because you just never know. You know, I got a call from Stephen Little. He leads our campus ministry at GGC, he and his wife. And He was sharing with me how a couple of weeks ago, they had a young lady visit the Devo. The campus guys have devotional every Friday night. And they got word that she's dead. She was shot. And she was just in the house 2 weeks ago. Actually, even playing with Roxanne's hair, she's got these dreads. She got that dread thing going on. And she was playing with Roxanne's hair. Now she's gone. I remember another one, it was about 2 months ago. She used to come on Sundays. I remember her because she was Indian looking. She was killed riding a bicycle. And it was just a few weeks ago, and I shared this at midweek, one of the midweeks. My mechanic, and you know the guy used to work on a lot of cars in here, took his own life and took his wife's life. As a matter of fact, John had gone to invite him for International Sunday. John was the last person who saw him and invited him and followed up. And he said, as a matter of fact, I'm going to come. But now he's gone. Now I can stand up here and say, oh, God, we'll see what God's going to do. I can't tell where they've gone. That would be a lie. Because I know none of those three people responded to what the Bible said. I know it. And like Bishop was saying this morning, God doesn't change. He's the same God. The Bible tells us how to get right with him. And so what I'm saying is, there needs to be an urgency on our part for the souls of people. Amen? That's what we're talking about. And we're talking about just as you go, just talk about the goodness of God. Just talk about who God is. We've been called to witness for Jesus. So what do we deserve? We deserve God's anger, but instead we get love. We deserve punishment, but instead we receive mercy. We deserve God's wrath, but instead we got God's kindness. We deserve hatred from God, but instead we get forgiveness. That's what the gospel is all about. That Jesus came into this world to die for sinners. And he took our place on the cross so that God would not send us to hell. Period. Back then, they didn't think God was serious. Look at all the verses Alan talked about this morning, and yet they didn't listen. And folks, I got news for you. Nothing has changed. The same thing is going on in the 21st century. Where it doesn't matter how you're living, it's okay. You know, God bless you. Isn't God wonderful? Doesn't God want to prosper you? It's a bunch of nonsense. You know it, and I know it. We've turned the word of God into a profit-making machine. It doesn't bother me how big the church is. How many people in that place are going to heaven? That's what I want to know. What is being preached? What is being taught? And I don't know about you. I am sick and tired of people telling people, peace, peace, where there's no peace. I'm tired of it. It's been 28 years for me now, but I'm tired of it. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Amen? But you see, there's got to be love in our hearts. We got to see people's lostness every single day. Very, very important. God has showed us love. He's shown us kindness. We got to tell other people where to find this same grace. But you see, the question is, what is going to be our response to God's grace? In Acts chapter 13, verse 43, you can write that down. Paul says, continue in the grace of God. We got saved by grace. We need to continue to live by grace and not by performance. We got to continue in the grace. It's very, very important. And I think it reminds us to continue to do that because we have a tendency to forget. There's a tendency for duty and performance to take over. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I wake up every day. When my eyes open, I kid you not, I'm like, whoa, I'm still here. God, thank you. Because I'm very conscious that one day I'm going to go to sleep and I'm not going to wake up. I don't know about you. That's the way I want to go. Quietly. I don't want to die in some car accident or some disaster. I ain't going like that. You say, Richard, how do you know? That's what I'm asking my God for, and I know he's going to answer my prayers. So one day, I'm just not going to wake up. And that's okay with me. And so every day, I open my eyes like, okay, I'm still here. So there's still work to be done. That's why God woke you up this morning. That's why he woke me up. He didn't wake you up so you can get dressed in your fancy clothes or whatever and go do your stuff. No, please. He woke you up to continue to do his will. Amen? We got to always be about our Father's business on a daily basis. And finally, what should be our response to God's grace? We need to testify to others about God's grace. Paul says that in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. We need to continue to testify to others about God's grace. You guys know my favorite restaurant is Cheesecake Factory. And I have a favorite dish they have. It's called shrimp and chicken gumbo. Every time I go to that place, that's all I order. When they come and bring the, what do you call that thing, menu, I say, don't even bother. I know what I want. Every now and then you'll get a waiter trying to get you to get something. I say, you know what, dude, please. Okay, just, I know what I want. Don't even try. To get a cheesecake, we will always go to the one in Perimeter Mall. And for years, I would look at my wife and I say, you know what, how come they don't have one in Gwinnett County? I don't want to keep driving over here. Mother's Day, we got out of here, and that's where we went. We still encountered a 30-minute wait. Even getting there at 11:30. But that's a different day, different sermon. But my point is, Friday night, we were spending time with another couple, with the flowers, as a matter of fact. And Audie said, let's go to the one in Beaufort. I said, there's none in Beaufort. He said, there is one in Beaufort. So I looked it up. I was like, as I live and breathe. And so we got over there. It's right opposite P.F. Chang's at the Mall of Georgia. I got over there and said, I can't believe this. When did they open this place? I said, somebody stole my franchise. I've been wanting one at that spot for 10 years. And so I finally went over there. I was like, I can't believe this. In a matter of speaking, I keep testifying for Cheesecake Factory. The other day, I had lunch with another brother who's an elder at a different church. And I sat down. He says, what's that? I said, chicken gumbo. He said, how is good? I said, bro, this is so good. I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to be eating this stuff. And so he said, can I taste? I said, please, go ahead and be my guest. And so he took his fork and he said, man, this is nice. So the next time we got together, guess what he ordered? He ordered the same thing. I converted him. You're laughing. I can promise you, some of you in here, the next time you go to that place, you're going to order that stuff because of what you've heard me saying. But I can tell you, they're not going to give me a cut, okay? But I will continue to witness for them because that stuff is good, okay? Now, I got to also be honest. I understand they have the menu online in terms of how they cook it. And so my kids looked it up for me the other day, and I have it. Once I discover how to do that stuff, I'm going to stop going there because I'll do it myself. Okay? But, that's going to be a few months from now. We'll see what happens. I don't cook. And so we'll see. You can hold me to it. But we'll see. What's my point? Oops. We need to testify to others about God's grace. We need to testify to others how good God has been to us. Amen. Amen. God has been so good to you. Our kids are growing up. God has given us the resources to take care of them. And it's amazing. On Thursday, it dawned on me, I've been taking my kids to school since they were 2 years old. Where I'm from in Africa, when the kids are two, you put them in school. Once they can say dada and mama, you put them in school. We start very early. I've been taking them to school their entire lives. every morning. And said I would go pick them up. And on Thursday, I did it for the last time. Wow. And it's funny. Sarah went to pick her up, and Sarah was thinking the same thing. This is the last time I'm going to pick you up from school. Wow. You say, what's that? Why is that such a big deal? I grew up, and I didn't have the opportunity for my dad to ever take me to school. And I remember, even before we had kids, saying, when I have kids, I'm going to take them to school every day. The entire life. What I did not experience. And Thursday was the last day for me. And it was very emotional for me. You know, people were asking, so how you doing? I said, I don't know. I said, this is hard. Now I understand, yes, I'm a different phase now. And I'm excited. But I wanted to do that because I didn't have that growing up. Yeah. Now you say, what's so big about that for me? It was a big deal. And so all I'm saying is God has allowed us to be Christians so that we can change things. So that our kids and the generations that will come later will have a different life. Amen. We'll have an incredible opportunity to spend eternity with this God. I mean, it's an amazing thing. I'm studying right now. It's not part of this lesson. Where God talks about, you know, if the Father is faithful, I will show kindness to the next generation and to the next generation. So it starts with you. Amen. Your impact is going to be felt many years to come. Even after you're gone and dead. Very, very important, fathers. But again, I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to get to that in a few weeks. But it's very important that we talk to other people about God's grace.
Amen.
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 So brothers and sisters, again, as we start the summer, let us be awesome witnesses for Jesus Christ. And I promise you, many people throughout this summer will get a chance to come to Christ by looking at His Word and by deciding to respond to it. So be praying for people every single day. Put their names before God and you watch what the Almighty God does. God bless.